ACB's betrayal of Trump continues the red pilling of conservative America by Tho Bishop, an audio Mises Wire narrated by Michael Stack. If we were searching for a reason for political optimism in 2021, we were delivered another reminder of the degree to which mainstream American conservatives are waking up to what the state truly is. The latest institutional betrayal of Republican voters came from the Supreme Court, which rejected considering a lawsuit challenging late changes to Pennsylvania's election process. The majority that voted to dismiss consideration included Trump nominees Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. Are notorious ACB shirts getting treated like the jerseys of an athlete who just jilted a fan base? This was predictable, of course, not because there wasn't a substantive issue worth addressing. The degree to which state courts can interject themselves in election law seems like a valid question, regardless of one's opinion about the 2020 election. As Justice Clarence Thomas noted in a particularly blunt dissent, this was simply the SCOTUS avoiding the issue entirely. Quote, "That decision to rewrite the rules seems to have affected too few ballots to change the outcome of any federal election. But that may not be the case in the future. These cases provide us with an ideal opportunity to address just what authority non-legislative officials have to set election rules, and to do so well before the next election cycle. The refusal to do so is inexplicable." End quote. Of course, this is precisely the sort of behavior that we have come to expect from spineless politicians, and that is what you find on America's highest court, politicians in robes. While it's become more fashionable lately to mention this in recent years thanks to the particularly hammy performance of John Roberts, this has long been the case. As Ryan McMakin has explained, quote, "The truly political nature of the court is well documented. Its politics can take many forms. For an example of its role in political patronage, we need look no further than Earl Warren, a one-time candidate for president and governor of California, who was appointed to the court by Dwight Eisenhower. It is widely accepted that Warren's appointment was payback for Warren's non-opposition to Eisenhower's nomination at the 1952 Republican Convention. The proposition that Warren somehow transformed from politician to deep thinker after his appointment is unconvincing at best. Or we might point to the famous switch in time that saved nine, in which Justice Owen Roberts completely reversed his legal position on the New Deal in response to political threats from the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Indeed, Supreme Court justices are politicians who behave in the manner public choice theory tells us they should. They seek to preserve and expand their own power. The court, jealous of its power and reluctant to hand down decisions that might actually cause the court to lose prestige, is at times careful to reflect the majority opinion, regardless of how atrocious it might be. To see this, we need look no further than Korematsu v. United States, in which the court declared it perfectly legal to round up American citizens and throw them into concentration camps. The court forever plays a careful balancing act with both the public and with other branches of the federal government, in which it continually pushes the bounds of federal power without rocking the boat to the point of calling its legitimacy into question among the majority of the population. Naturally, Congress and the presidency themselves, committed to untrammeled federal powers, have no problem with most of this on most occasions, except perhaps in the details." End quote. It is the last paragraph that brings us to this week's decision. "Regardless of the merits of the argument, there can be no tolerance for any major institution that invites questions over the legitimacy of the 2020 election in Joe Biden's Americans, particularly not one that resides in the current war zone of the American capital. Already there are agents of the corporate press trying to spin Justice Thomas's dissent as an act of sedition. I would be surprised if no Democrat ends up calling for his impeachment over the issue. In terms of the incentive for a justice to build up their own prestige, none had more to gain from ruling against Florida's first president than Kavanaugh and Barrett. Kavanaugh's lack of principles has long been obvious to anyone who followed his career in the Bush administration. It is a testament to the repulsive treatment he received from the corporate press that they managed to make a Yale Law alum turned Beltway lawyer sympathetic. It is also understandable to see how both could be convinced that this decision was a practical necessity for their historical reputations. In the view of America's most powerful institutions, there is no greater stain than having Trump as a benefactor. The only way to be forgiven for this sin is to become politically useful in stopping him. With this case, the last legal challenge of 2020 is likely done. This is yet another example of the unique value of Trump's presidency. The failure of a conservative-aligned Supreme Court to defend Donald Trump is being properly recognized by many Americans as showing that it also cannot be trusted to defend them. Many who believed that a conservative legal movement could effectively defend the Constitution in D.C., if only Republicans could get a true majority, have now lost their innocence. This invites an important question. What happens when yet another governing institution loses the faith of a large portion of the American public? While Congress has long been viewed as dysfunctional and the popularity of the presidency has largely been partisan, the Supreme Court has tended to be held up as a uniquely noble governing body. Now we see its legitimacy questioned with increased frequency on both the left and right. While this may be a bitter red pill for some to swallow, ultimately it is a necessary medicine. The growth of the American empire has always been dependent upon convincing the public that it is acting in its interest. When large portions of the population begin to recognize that this is an obvious lie, that the empire ultimately serves the interests of a privileged few, governing becomes more difficult. As Jefferson noted, the first step to opposing imperial rule is for people to recognize that they no longer consent to a government that is hostile to their lives, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In America today, there are 50 million plus Trump supporters who believe Joe Biden is a president imposed on the nation, potentially with the help of foreign powers, armed with a Democrat-controlled legislature and a Supreme Court whose credibility is now compromised. Yet another reason why secession is becoming popular. For more content like this, visit Mises.org.